We'll move on to our featured speaker for the afternoon, Michael G. Whitaker. The Honorable Michael G. Whitaker was sworn in as the Deputy Administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration on June 3, 2013. Deputy Administrator Whitaker is responsible for helping to ensure the safe and efficient operation of the largest aerospace system in the world. This includes over 45,000 daily operations, as well as enforcing safety standards for all equipment and aerospace professionals within the aviation industry. Mr. Whitaker is a seasoned aviation executive. He led collaboration efforts and joint ventures to promote aviation safety, performance, and profitability. Before joining the FAA, Mr. Whitaker served as a board member and business development consultant for Interglobe Enterprises. He also served at United Airlines and Trans World Airlines in international and regulatory affairs. Please welcome the Honorable Michael Whitaker.
Thank you, George, and good afternoon, everybody. As George mentioned, I'm relatively new to the FAA. I've learned that if you've been there less than 20 years, you're considered relatively new, but I've only been there for 8 months. But as George said, I'm not new to aviation. I spent over 20 years in the airline business before joining the FAA. And what that means is I have a lot of experience with aircraft that fly horizontally and rarely venture above 38,000 feet. So I confess to not having used previously used terms such as suborbital or geosynchronous. So I'm learning a lot, and I can say that it's been a pleasant surprise to learn about commercial space. And it is clearly one of the most interesting and fascinating parts of what I do, and I think part of what's going on in the industry today. And there is a lot going on. There's a lot going on the policy front. The president recently issued a new, and I think very important, policy with respect to commercial space. It's a lot going on in the research area, and there's a lot going on operationally. A lot happening in the marketplace, a lot of changes that are taking place that we're working very hard to keep up with. So this afternoon, I want to just talk about those three pieces of what's happening from the FAA perspective: policy, research, and operations, and how we're managing that at the FAA. First, to talk about operations and provide some context. There were three commercial launches in the U.S. in 2012. There were that many commercial launches just in the second week of January this year. SpaceX launched at the Kennedy Space Center, Orbital Sciences at Wallops Island, and Scale Composites conducted a suborbital test flight of Spaceship Two at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. SpaceX alone has 50 launches on its manifest, over half of which are with commercial customers. This represents a very significant resurgence of our competitiveness in the commercial launch space, an area which we almost entirely owned at one point in time and which almost was entirely gone to competitors not that long ago. Commercial space tourism, we've been hearing about it for quite a while. It's rumored to be just around the corner, and that is also coming to fruition. And I think that will be a real game changer with respect to the public perception of what's happening in commercial space. That will also be fueled by private industry. Space tourism will be possible because of recent advances that have been made both in composite structures and in innovative propulsion systems. Finally, the FAA's Office of Commercial Space Transportation has more than two dozen pre-application consultations. And what that means in FAA speak is more than two dozen ideas that have been put forth for evaluation, including proposals for new vehicles, new spaceports, safety approvals, and requests for payload reviews. So this is all very exciting, but it presents some significant challenges for the FAA. We are primarily an agency that has focused on the operation and safety of the national airspace, or the NAS as we call it. And the NAS, by its very nature, is a horizontal system. So we're faced with the issue, how do you balance competing business models and competing operating systems. We have always been focused on the safe and efficient operation of the horizontal system, minimizing delays and balancing competing interests in that regard. How do we balance the important economic benefits of commercial space and the vertical operations with the existing horizontal system? This is not merely an apples to oranges problem. I would say it's more like an apples to rhubarb problem. And we're not always sure what to do with the rhubarb. And the rhubarb would be you guys, by the way. As you know, we currently deal with commercial space launches on a case-by-case basis. But as we expand in the commercial space, we have to figure out a way to regularly and consistently integrate this traffic into the national airspace system. In the horizontal system, we basically have a file and fly type of system. It's the least amount of regulation you can have in a complex system of this nature. We have to figure out, I don't think we're going to get to file and fly very quickly in commercial space, but we have to figure out a process for integrating this type of vertical operation into the horizontal system. That's what the FAA's Office of Commercial Space is now working on with the Air Traffic Organization, coming up with a system, processes, and procedures to make that integration happen. We really have some of our best and brightest working in that area, and I'm optimistic we'll reach a very good outcome in that space. So that's on the operation side. To turn to research just for a moment, in the new budget that was just passed, Congress allocated $1 million of research funds specifically to support and maintain the FAA's Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation. Now, $1 million may not sound like a lot, but in the current political environment, with government shutdown and focus on cutting spending, getting $1 million for a program, I think is a pretty profound demonstration of support and recognition for the importance of this emerging industry. The center's most important research is in the area of safety, the safety of space transportation, the safety of humans, and the safety of vehicles. And just as an example of that, there is research going on the health of space flight candidates. In traditional research, we've focused on the safety of adult astronauts, mostly young to midlife healthy individuals. But as commercial space develops, we have to include children and older people in this evaluation. So we're supporting research on these demographic groups as well. As a secondary goal, we have research that's dedicated to the viability of the industry. And this area addresses questions about how the industry is structured, how it's regulated, what laws apply to it, and the economics of the industry. The center actually includes 9 universities, which combine to bring more than 50 government, industry, and academic organizations together as research partners. There is also significant research going on elsewhere in the government. At DARPA, the Defense Department's research agency, they're working on a new program called Experimental Space Plane, or XS-1. DARPA hopes to demonstrate the viability of a low-cost launch for taking small payloads into low Earth orbit. This would be a reusable vehicle that could be manned or unmanned and serve both government and commercial needs. Like other DARPA research, this would lead to later development of similar commercial capabilities that could be operated by private companies. And then there's constant research and innovation taking place in the private sector. In addition to the 24 pre-application consultations that are underway between the FAA and industry, last year we granted experimental permit to Scaled Composites, authorizing it to conduct rocket-powered flights of Spaceship Two to suborbital altitudes. So far, the company has completed 3 tests in Mojave. Eventually, the system will be operated by Virgin Galactic from Spaceport America in New Mexico. 2 other companies, X-Core and Blue Origin, are also making progress on developing new suborbital vehicles to carry tourists. And finally, last month, NASA received proposals from industry for the next phase of their commercial crew program. The goal of this program is to develop vehicles to transport astronauts, in addition to cargo, to the space station by the end of 2017, a very impressive time frame for this type of endeavor. And again, it's an example of public-private partnership. These crew missions will also be licensed by the FAA. And then finally, that brings us to policy. In November, the President signed the new National Space Transportation Policy. This is a presidential policy directive and provides comprehensive guidance to all federal departments and agencies on national priorities and roles and responsibility in space transportation. The President's policy is significant for a couple of key reasons. First and foremost, the policy recognizes the contribution that commercial space makes to the U.S. economy in the ways that I previously mentioned. The policy explicitly recognizes the importance of the industry, in the space industry. Second, the new policy tasks government agencies to work together to support the industry. This is a point worth emphasizing. The need for agencies to work together and with industry is key to making this transition happen. A great example of this can be found at the Kennedy Space Center, a national landmark that is undergoing a significant transition as assets are transferred to the private sector. I visited the Space Center last month and was struck by the degree to which it has changed over the years. I toured the Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral, which had just been used the week prior to launch SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket carrying the Thaicom 6 satellite. SpaceX has completely redesigned and repurposed that launch site to make it more streamlined, more readily available to be recycled for repetitive launches, and it looks much different than it did in previous iterations. But during that visit, I also visited the Air Force Launch Control Center. I visited with the NASA facilities and with the FAA offices down there. Collaboration between these government entities and between these agencies and private industry is the key to making this transition a success. The new space policy also directs all departments and agencies to cultivate innovation and entrepreneurship through the use of non-traditional acquisition arrangements. Now, those of you in government understand that's actually a very significant change. This includes the use of fixed-priced acquisition instead of the traditional cost-plus arrangements. The goal here is to encourage the expansion of commercial space transportation beyond the role of government by using commercial-style contracts. Government assumes less of the risk of development of new technology. The private companies are incentivized to innovate and operate more efficiently and potentially see greater profits. In addition, the policy facilitates the sharing of databases containing valuable lessons learned from human space flight. These data held by NASA and FAA will be made available to support commercial development of space transportation. New policy also supports continuation of the current indemnification risk-sharing regime. As part of the recent budget agreement, Congress extended the regime for 3 years, and as I think you all know, that's a very key part of keeping this industry viable. Keeping this risk-sharing regime in place helps U.S. companies remain competitive with foreign launch providers that have similar support from their own governments. New policy also reinforces the Department of Transportation's authority to address orbital space debris mitigation practices for commercial launches. And finally, the new policy advocates internationally for the adoption of U.S. government safety regulations to enhance global interoperability and safety of commercial space transportation activities. So that's just a quick snapshot of many things that are underway in this commercial space, if you will. At FAA, we are committed to supporting the new commercial space era in these three key ways. First, through the safe integration of commercial space into the air transportation system. Second, by supporting commercial space transportation research. And then finally, through the President's new National Space Transportation Policy. So as we do that, we look forward to working with all of you to realize these great and exciting benefits. So thank you.